Now that is good water. Tonight you have your Bible, Exodus 15, verse 22. Exodus 15, verse 22. Praise God. Have your fingers ready to do the walking or the typing or whatever your fingers do to get the word up for you. We're going to move as quick as we can. Exodus 15, 22, you'll know this, you'll remember this story. It's just after Israel has been led by God out of the bondage of Egypt. After 430 years of slavery, God led them out after 10 plagues, led them out of Egypt supernaturally, led them across the Red Sea. They saw all the Egyptians die, and they got over on that other side, and here's what happened. Exodus 15, 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Everybody say no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And there he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. You know, I want to talk for a few minutes about the power of human thirst tonight. Because God has so amazingly designed our bodies. You know, our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139 tells us. And it's even more amazing to think, you know, our body, the makeup of our physical body, is 75% water. It's really amazing when you think about that. And our brain is 85% water. It's no wonder that they say, you know, you have to have 8 to 10 cups of water a day just to affect things like the moisture in your breath and your skin and all kinds of things. Water is necessary. And I tell you this, without water, we would die. We could live for weeks without food, but it's just a matter of days before anybody can live without water. Water is essential. Water is necessary. Water is critical to our existence. Have you ever been so thirsty that you just completely consumed a glass of water just in one setting? Anybody ever done that except for me? You know, about 5 years ago, we were having a good old-fashioned Oklahoma heat wave, and there was like a record number of days when the temperature was above 100 degrees. And I don't mean like a heat index. I mean the actual temperature. And we just had a series of days above 100 degrees. And I remember back about 5 years ago, I was playing golf with one of the staff members here. He and I, we went out to play around the golf. And that particular day, we decided to walk. And we both had to work before. And so we finished late. And we got out there in the heat of the day. When we arrived at the golf course, I never forget, it was 105 degrees. And we walked that day. And so, man, we drank all the water we had at the turn at nine, after nine holes. We piled in more water, and the more we walked, the hotter we got. And I'll never forget, as we played the back nine, we were almost done. We were coming down the 17th fairway, and then you only have 18 to play. So we were coming down the 17th fairway. We'd already hit our balls, there were houses out on that particular golf course out there, and a lady came running out of the house, barreled out of the house, had two cups with ice and a pitcher with ice and water, and just ran right over to us, ran up to us on the golf course, and just said, "I saw you guys from the window and just could not believe you were out here in this blistering heat." And she said, "I just had to bring you some ice water," and man, it was like a godsend. We were like, "You are an angel from heaven." And she gave us the water, you know, she poured that water over the ice into the cup. And let me ask you, do you know the difference between a sip and a guzzle? A guzzle is an East Coast colloquial New Jersey expression, you know. And man, she poured that water and I guzzled that. Now a sip, you know, you're real polite. You just, you know, you drink a little bit with etiquette and then there's more in the cup and you drink a little bit more. That's not a guzzle. Anybody know what I say when I mean guzzle? Anybody? Man, I just one check. She poured the water. I drank it straight. She poured some more. I drank that straight. And that water was so refreshing on that hot day. And I tell you, I'll never forget that, how she came out and did that for us. And we were able to quench our thirst there on that hot golf course. But you know, the Bible has a lot to say about thirst, both naturally and spiritually. The Bible speaks of David having a thirst. Don't turn there, but over in 2 Samuel 23:15, the Bible said David had a craving He said, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. He had a craving for water, except the Philistines had captured Bethlehem, and they had that well, and his mighty men broke in there and got the water for him. Maybe you've read that story before. But he had a thirst for water that day, and he poured it out to the Lord after they risked their lives to go get it. The Bible says so much about thirst. Even Psalm 78, when you read Psalm 78, it's kind of a synopsis of what God took Israel through as he led them through the desert. And Psalm 78 says down at verse 19 that the people, they were thirsty. And they got so thirsty that they began to question God. And they allowed their thirst to affect their trust in God. And they started asking, can God, after he led, think about it, he led them out of Egypt, 430 years of slavery. 10 plagues. He broke them out of Egypt. Not one of them came out feeble, the Bible says. And then he led them through the Red Sea. They saw all of Pharaoh's army chariots all drown, horses all drown. And then they got on the other side and they got thirsty. And they said, the Bible says here in Psalm 78 that they asked this question, can God prepare a table in this desert? In other words, they were saying, not God himself can't take care of us in this desert. My need is so great. My thirst, they were saying, is so acute. I'm in such a dry situation. They were saying, God himself cannot prepare and provide for me in the midst of the thirst that I have, in the midst of the need that I have. And God, you know, they asked, God bought water from a rock after that. And they said, well, can God provide bread in a place like this? And you know, God gave them manna. And they said, but can God provide meat? And he caused the wind to blow and it blew quail. It blew millions of quail right over them where they could have quail. And God, he wanted them to know that there's no situation, no hunger, no thirst that you have that is beyond my ability to meet it. You are my child. And God is saying, I take care of my own. And you know, the Bible speaks not just of natural thirst. The Bible also speaks of spiritual thirst, because the Bible says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? They shall be filled. And so the title for our message tonight is Run to the River. Run to the river. Look at somebody and say, run to the river. I have three points the Lord's laid on my heart tonight. This message, you know, I had been meditating in Isaiah 55 just personally, and in my quiet time, just at the beginning of the month, this around the 2nd of February, I was meditating. I was in Isaiah 55 meditating, and then later, last Wednesday, I felt drawn for some reason after quiet time to go back to Isaiah 55, and I started writing down some things, and I wrote in my quiet time notebook, this is the beginning of a sermon. And I thought, well, I don't know where that's going to fit, but I'll just dig in there. And so I started preparing the message. I didn't know at that time I was speaking tonight, but it just fit perfectly. When I asked the Lord about it, that he already was helping me to prepare for what we're doing tonight. So run to the river. That's the name. So I've got 3 points I want to make. And here's the first one. The first one is come to the river. Come to the river. Go with me to Isaiah 55. God, he makes a clarion beck and call to all of his people. Come to the river. Isaiah 55. Those first 3 verses, I'm reading New American Standard tonight. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. This is God speaking. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? Your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. You notice there, God gave the invitation. And he's saying, essentially, when he says, ho there, or hey, he's trying to get the attention of his people. He's essentially saying, hey, listen, wait a minute, wake up, listen. If you're thirsty, come to the waters. If you are dry, come to the waters. God is calling to his people, and he's saying, I've got water to refresh you. I've got water to renew you. I've got water to help you. Look over in Matthew chapter 11 at verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. We'll read 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28. God says this. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, those who have worked to exhaustion, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is making the same appeal to his people here in Matthew 11 that God is making there in Isaiah 55. He's saying the same thing. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It is a clarion call to all of God's people. Come. If you are weary, God is saying, come. What does he mean when he says, come, all who are weary? Come, all who are thirsty. He's talking to those, and the scripture literally means, when he says, come, all of you who are weary, heavy laden, it literally means, come those who have worked yourselves to exhaustion. You having a tough week? You're in the right place tonight. Come here weary and exhausted? You came to the right place. You say, because you here? No, because your Heavenly Father is here. And he's calling to you. He's calling to you through his word to come to him. And he's talking to the weary, the burdened down, the lonely, the discouraged, the broken, and the weak. You remember over in John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And when God sees us at the point of exhaustion, or when he sees us burdened or lonely or discouraged or broken or weak, that's not the abundant life that Jesus promised you and I. And so he calls you, come. Are you thirsty? Has something burdened you? Has something made you spiritually thirsty, spiritually dry? Are you hurting? Are you lonely? God's saying, come to me. I'm going to refresh you. If you come, I'm going to renew you. So he calls to you through this message. He calls to you through his word. He calls to you through his spirit to come to him so that he can renew your strength and quicken your mortal body. And yeah, doesn't matter how you came here tonight. I want you to know this in Jesus' name. If you came here weary, tired, and exhausted, you're going to leave a different way. If you'll answer his call, if you'll come to him. However you're listening, via the internet, live stream, or however you're listening to this message, God's speaking to you. And those waters he's talking about in Isaiah 55, when he says, if you're thirsty, plural, come to the waters. Come to the waters. What's God talking about? Well, we know he's got one thing he's got to be talking about. One thing he's talking about is come to the word. Come to the word. Over in Ephesians 5:25-26, Paul writing to husbands and wives says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. There is a washing of water that comes from the word of God. And when God gives that call in Isaiah 55 and says, come to the waters, one of the things he means is come to the word. Come to the word. My first point, come to the water, come to the river, come to the river. Did I say come to the waters? Come to the river, okay? I'm sorry. Come to the river. My second point, drink from the river. First point, come to the river. Second point, drink from the river. Really, I'm saying follow the authority of God's written word as we're talking about. Drink until you've had your fill. Like a dry sponge placed in a bucket of water. We have to soak up the word of God. Go with me to John chapter 4. Here in John chapter 4, down at verse 10, Jesus is having a conversation with the woman, the Samaritan woman. And the disciples have gone to get food into town, and the woman comes to the well, and Jesus asks her for a drink. And she asked him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for water?" And Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And at verse 10, Jesus said this to her, John 4, verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living" what? "Living water." And she said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." How many of you know, as a born-again believer, you have that well on the inside of you? Now, someone may need to prime that well. But there's a well in us. If you're a believer tonight, there's a well down on the inside of you. Amen. Springing up to everlasting life. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful for that? Go with me to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. We made our first point quickly. Come to the river. God is saying, come. Come all who are heavy laden. Come all who are weak and thirsty. Come. Come to the river. Our second point we're talking about right now, drink from the river. Drink from the river. We're going to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of" what? "By streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers." That's a pretty good outcome, isn't it? Water planted firm. He says the person who meditates in the word of God, the person who meditates in God's word day and night, is going to be just like a tree firmly planted near the water. Near the water. And what's God saying? Come. Anybody's thirsty. Anybody's tired. Anybody's been working to exhaustion. Come to me and lay down your burden. Give me your burden. Turn it over on me. Come to me, first of all. Come to the river. Secondly, drink. Drink from the river. Drink from the river. How are we going to do that? Through meditating in his word. Meditating in his word. When you meditate in his word, you take a drink of the mighty word of God. Meditate in his word, you will refresh yourself. His word is that water. Thirdly, my final point, jump in the river. We said, come to the river. We said, drink from the river. Our third point, jump in the river. When we said to you to drink from the river, we said, follow the authority of the written word of God. Now we say, jump in the river, and we say, follow the flow of the good Holy Spirit of God. Over in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. John chapter 7, follow the flow of the Holy Spirit. Jump in the river. Come to the river. Drink from the river. Jump in the river. Are you tired tonight? You've worked yourself to exhaustion. You're feeling lonely. You're feeling depressed. You're feeling discouraged. You're feeling broken in some area. Oh, God is saying, no, no, my child, I'm going to refresh you. I'm going to refresh you tonight. If you'll answer my call and come to me as I call you, if you'll come, oh, and then if you'll take a drink from the river, and then if you'll just jump in the river, you're going to be refreshed and going to be renewed, thank God. John 7, 37, now on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified." Notice the connection between, he said at verse 38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said," the scripture, that's one part of that river. And then he goes on and says, but from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. 39, but this he spoke of the Spirit. So we see the scripture and the Spirit working hand in hand. Those are the when he says, come to me in Isaiah 55, he's talking about both those streams. There's a stream of the river he's talking about, that is the scripture, the mighty word of God. And there's another side of that river that is the mighty Holy Ghost. And those two rivers are connected, flow together, and have the same source. I said, I wish I had an amen. Those two rivers never conflict with one another. And Jesus said, if you're thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And the Bible tells us, so we don't get it wrong, he was speaking of the Spirit. He was speaking about the Holy Ghost, who those who believed in him were to receive. Thank God. Thank God. And so we know that God wants us to jump into this river. He wants us to yield to this river. Now, over in Romans 8, verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Oh, man. How is he going to give life to our mortal bodies? Through that river down on the inside of you. He'll quicken you if you'll come to him, if you'll drink from the word. Oh, and if you'll jump in. I tell you, God will quicken you down on the inside. He will quicken you by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're the children of God. Why does the Spirit testify with our spirit? Well, let me tell you, that's where the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of us in our spirit. And that's where the river is. The river's in there. Let me tell you, it's time to jump into this river. God's peace. You need peace tonight? God's peace is in this river. It's on the inside of you. That flow that Jesus was talking about in John 7, 37 and 39. That flow that God was talking about in Isaiah 55. That same flow that Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. There's peace in that river. And when you hear that river of peace flow, it sounds like this from Isaiah 26, verse 3. I will keep them in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on me. I said, that's a river of peace flowing. It sounds like John 14, 27, when Jesus said, peace I give to you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. So don't let your heart be troubled and neither let it be afraid. When you listen to that river of peace, when you jump in that river of peace, you'll start to hear Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, that I wish I had an amen in here, that passes all understanding will guard your heart, thank God, and guard your mind. Thank God in Christ Jesus. When you get into that, when you jump into that river, if you need peace tonight, if you'll jump into that river, scriptures like that will wash over your heart and soul and mind. And you'll find, even if there's a storm raging around you, you'll find God's peace bubbling on the inside of you. And God's peace set up a garrison to your mind. And you can lay me down, like it says in Psalm 4, I will both lay me down and sleep in peace, for thou alone, O Lord, makes me to dwell in safety. When you get into that river, you can sleep at night because God himself will rock you. He will rock you right on. I wish I had an amen in here. There is joy in this river. Joy. God's joy is in the river. And when you listen to the flow, when you jump in that river and listen for the joy, it sounds like this in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It sounds like this, in his presence is fullness of joy. It sounds like this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. It sounds like this, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you jump in this river, you may be sad, busted, disgusted, depressed, but when you jump in this river, you may be broke. You could be broke as you want to be. But if you'll jump in that river of joy, oh, joy will bubble up on the inside of you. And you won't stay broke long, by the way. Oh, but your attitude will change. Your facial expression will change. Everything about you will change. And depression will break off of you. And the wrong spirit will fall off of you. And you'll find yourself having joy, unspeakable joy. I said, there's a river, and in that river, God's strength is flowing in that river. And if you need that strength tonight and you'll jump in that river, it sounds like this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The flow of that river sounds like this. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. It sounds like this. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, then he'll quicken my mortal body. There's strength in that river. That's not all. Listen, there's wisdom in that river. If you'll jump in the river, God's wisdom will hit you. And you'll hear the flow of that river, of that wisdom in that river. And it sounds like this. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But ask in faith without any doubting. Let not the man who doubts expect to receive anything from the Lord. God said, hey, you need wisdom? Ask me. I will lavish my wisdom on you without finding fault. It sounds like this. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you, Psalm 32, verse 8. If when you get into that river of wisdom, God will cause wisdom to flow to you. Things will start to seem, you'll know what to do. It'll start to seem right on the inside. You'll know when to do it if you'll jump into that river. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, God's got a river. If you'll jump in that river, you'll hear Isaiah 54, 17 said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you'll condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their vindication, their righteousness, their proving right is from me, saith the Lord. I said, I wish I had an amen in here. Sometimes for this river, you have to pray it out. Proverbs 20, verse 5 said, a plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Sometimes it has to be drawn out when you jump in that river. Sometimes to jump in that river, you have to dance with all of your might like David did in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. Sometimes when you jump in that river, you'll have to shout it out like they did in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20. Other times, you'll have to jump in that river through worship, through praise to God. And the Bible said everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Hey, God's got a river tonight. God doesn't want you and I dry. God, he's got just what you need. God says if you'll come and jump in the river. Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a river. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's get in that river tonight. Praise God. Let's get in that river. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
your care is, I encourage you, cast it on the Lord. Oh, let his word refresh you. Let his word renew you. Oh, let his word remind you of your redemptive realities in Christ. I said, you're in Christ, not out of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And every now and then you have to look at your problems and just go, ha, 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 ha. Not going to let that problem get me down. Every now and then you got to look at what you're going through and say, ha, 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 devil, ha, 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 ha. And sometimes you start out in the natural saying, ha, ha, ha. But you may start out in the natural saying, ha, 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 but you'll end up in the Holy Ghost laughing and dancing and shouting, glory be to God. Oh, there's a river on the inside of you. If you'll make time, make time, make time, make time, come to the river, drink from the river, jump in the river, push back your busy schedule and take time to spend with God and jump in that river, and the cares of this life will roll off you like water leaving a duck's back. Oh, I said, God's got a river. Hey! Oh, glory to God. He's got a river on the inside of you. Listen, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says this. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You notice the first thing said there was repent. And you know, tonight, if you're not living right, you're not living according to the Lord's standard, I know God's dealing with you. You may be here, maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Sit down for just a moment. Sit down for just a moment. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Hey man, tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. You change, your whole world's going to change. Your whole destiny's going to change. I know everybody's eyes are open. That's okay. Listen, anybody here tonight, you've never given your life to the Lord. You want to do that tonight. Just wave your hand at me. I want to pray for you. If you're here tonight, you've never surrendered control of your life to Christ. Let me see your hand. Let me pray for you. You're here tonight. Say, I need Jesus in my life. You're here tonight and maybe you're not living right. You're not living according to the word the way you should. And you know it, and God's dealing with you. Oh man, God's dealing with you. Anybody here like that tonight? You're here, you know the Lord's dealing with you. Wave at me. Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you. God wants to refresh you. He wants to renew you. The Bible said right there, repent. Repent for, what's that mean? Make a change, make a turn. And then see, when we turn and then submit to God, then he'll help us. Amen. So let me see one more time. Anybody got a hand up? You know, I don't want to miss anybody. I want to pray for you. If your hand is up, raise it high where I can see you. God wants to help you in this place. Okay, all of our prayer workers, come on down. Praise God. And you may be here tonight. You want somebody to agree with you in prayer concerning anything going on in your life. And these men and women are anointed to do that. They're not down here to counsel you. Oh, but they'll help you tap into that river. And so as we conclude, listen, you need something from God, come down here. These folks will agree with you. All right, did we have any first-time guests here in the house tonight? Pastor Ted, did we have any first time? We did. Okay, so if you will go with whoever was our guest, let's applaud for them. If you'll go with our connection team member, we want to give you a great gift on behalf of our senior pastors. We want to give you a great gift. Just go with them right now, and we just want to bless you. They're not going to keep you long. They're just going to give you a great gift on behalf of our pastors, all right? So stand up on your feet. If every heart is clear, every mind is free. Some of you, I just got you kick-started here a little bit. And you need to go home, and you need to turn off gun smoke. And listen to me now. You need to turn off gun smoke, and you need to get your word out. And you need to come to the river, and you need to take a drink from the river, and you need to jump in that river. And if you get in the word and follow the flow of the Holy Ghost, I don't care what's bothering you. It won't bother you. Some of you, the Lord's just started to get your attention. You've been bogged down. You've been heavy. You've been weighed down so long, and you can sense this. There's something percolating. There's something bubbling. That's that river down on the inside of you. But you go home and continue what we're doing tonight, and I guarantee you, you will not be the same. Glory to God. All right. Father, we thank you. Now unto the King, our King, eternal, immortal, invisible, our only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, protect us all as we go. Continue to bless and protect our pastors, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. We continue to stand with Pastor Craig. And Father, keep us safe till we see each other again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.